Welcome, everyone. Hope you're all doing reasonably well, given everyone working from home. And you know, it's been a challenge at times. We got through the semester. Appreciate all the work on everything. So welcome to the last Senate meeting of the year, May 7th, 2020. And will be my last Senate meeting at Oakland University. So rather short agenda today. A few important items. Under informational, we'll start up with the program modification approved by University Committee on Undergraduate Instruction. This is a program modification to the Bachelor of Science in Health Science, Department of Clinical Diagnostic Sciences, and the School of Health Sciences, adding a specialization in pre-pharmacy. Are there any questions about this one? I don't see any. If I'm moving too quickly, I know you'll figure out how to stop me. So I'll move on to item two. Oh, it's already up to provost updates. Well, all right. I mean, there is an awful lot happening in this office and across campus with several teams working on summer delivery of courses and what we're doing with campus, and also thinking about the next potential executive order from the governor, you know, which could, if it's not the next one, sometime soon, you know, we'll eventually get the option to open the university, meaning we'll need to have a protocol in place for, you know, how department offices would run, offices across campus, and teams are working very hard to develop those standards and protocols for what is required, social distancing requirements, you know, other things. And there are several conversations taking place, multiple meetings a week. And on Monday, there's a joint cabinet deans meeting where we'll be discussing some of these things as well. I think if there's anything else I should tell you for fall, you know, let me just say this. Discussions with cabinet and with the president and several teams of folks. I think it's, and you've seen a lot of headlines, I'm sure, whether you see them in the local papers or national ones. You know, a lot of announcements kind of saying we're going to be open in the fall. Many universities are saying, when you read through what that means, there are several question marks. Some of the courses will be likely, especially larger lectures, will be online. There's the possibility of distancing protocols, et cetera. Sometimes you'll read about testing and those kinds of things for the virus. Well, a lot of these things are yet to be developed, determined, nailed down. But I can tell you that all those scenarios are being studied hard right now so that we can really have a plan going into the fall. We do expect that over the summer, you know, there's the potential that research labs would become more open. They'll likely be the test cases for, you know, some of the protocols that would go into the teaching of fall courses, should they be able to be in face-to-face in some cases. You can hear that there are still several questions to answer about this, but I assure you that everyone is working very hard, trying to follow best practices and reading peer information, talking to peers. All of us have peer groups up at Michigan Association of State Universities. So provosts meet together, presidents meet together, CFOs meet together, and everyone is comparing notes on potentials to open fall. So lots of work going on there. And I, you know, kudos to all the folks who are involved. You probably have seen, many of you have, surveys that have gone out to department chairs and faculty, trying to gather information. I'll just mention one of the things. There's several things we're looking at from the feedback. One is several folks have mentioned, could we get Zoom instead of WebEx? And if I didn't mention this last time around, there was already, even before COVID-19, an RFP out there. WebEx goes away, I think, during the summer sometime, and we're going to have WebEx continuing to go. At the same time, we'll have another platform up and running. There's a system out there called Yuja that is very similar to Zoom, but offers a few more options. And this is there was a committee of that consisted of staff and faculty who made that recommendation a long time ago. We're going to roll that out in terms of people being able to see it. It's not a done deal yet. I know that Zoom was far more expensive than this tool, and that people felt that it actually was better than Zoom. So that's something, one of the things happening over the summer. I could go on for a long time about this, but there will be more notes to go out to campus and more discussions taking place on CETL groups and many others that you'll continue to read about and be invited to. I can mention that the graduate dean search has actually continued its work. They've actually come up and recommended to this office three people to be interviewed as finalists, and we're still in process on this. And likely at this point, if we go ahead, it's going to be virtual. We have not approved the short list yet, but I just want to let you know that search is in progress. You did notice an important note from the president about organizational changes, and you noticed that one of our friends, Michelle Piskulich, will be the interim provost. So in your own virtual way, let's thank Michelle for taking that on, and congratulations to Michelle. And Kevin Corcoran will be continuing as CAS Dean. You saw that in the announcement. That's important. The other changes, President's decision on some of the organizational shifts of duties and things like that, she will be addressing this further. Yeah, I'm gonna count on her to address that and explain it as it moves ahead. Part of that facilitated by the fact that the COO is retiring June 1, and that I will be leaving my last day, June the 12th, and then Michelle will begin the interim role on June the 15th. So, gosh, I could keep going with a bunch of big announcements, but that's where we are at the moment. And, still, I guess I should mention one other thing. Budget is really going to be a challenge to assess. You're seeing the state, I know I said it last time, they continue to see $3 billion shortfall or something. Enrollment's gonna be a real key for the fall. Summer one, I mentioned this last time, still looks good and is holding pretty well. Summer two was a bit down, but not by very much. The fall numbers are really hard to assess right now because we don't have any live orientations, which is how we gauge the number of people and gauge our interest. That's the numbers, if you just take them at face value right now, are pretty far off. And we don't know what to make of that other than to say that what used to be May 1 as a time to really assess where things stand, it's more like June 1 this time. So by June 1, we'll have a better picture of the decisions that students are making for fall. A lot of what we're talking about with the budget will hinge on the fall enrollment. And if it drops off significantly, and on top of the other things that could potentially be challenging, like state funding and everything else, we're planning for several scenarios. The worst case being, quite a bit of a challenge. So anyway, that work is ongoing and not surprising. There's also a chance, of course, that the enrollment will come in. Maybe better than we might anticipate, and if that does happen, we'll have some better, more favorable choices to make. I think I'll stop those comments there. Roll call. I think Dicka, you are going to simply look at the list, and I can see them all too. Are you okay with what you can see?
Yep, I've got everybody who is present, so we don't need to go through the list.
All right, great. Well, thanks everyone for being here. Approval of minutes. Are there any amendments, changes to the minutes of April 16, 2020? Seeing no hands popping up, we will approve the minutes as submitted. So thank you very much. Moving on to old business. Motion from the Gen Ed Committee to approve a new committee on general education assessment. There's been a slight change from the original proposal. Lori, I'm going to let you address, It probably covers more than one of the items, but could you just either refresh us or just give us a few comments before we move forward?
Sure. So I got some wonderful feedback from the from you all last time and from the steering committee for things that we could do to improve the initial charges that we had written, particularly in terms of more coordination between the two committees. And so we've added more coordination in terms of sharing of minutes and sharing of information and even combined meeting attendance so that we've got both committees meeting together once a semester as well. The steering committee also had questions about how this would impact course proposals as well. And so I have some information about that. And I have a short presentation here showing basically reiterating what the problem is that we're facing right now as a gen ed committee. Mm. So shall I go ahead and present that?
Yeah, I mean, I think you can. I mean, it can be brief, but if you want to highlight stuff, that's fine.
Okay. So yeah, I'll share a little bit of data about the committee and our work, and you can see most of it here on this slide. I'm not going to go over it again. I'll also talk a little bit about our anticipated workload and some of the initiatives that we've been doing over the past couple of years, following a gen ed program assessment that OIRA helped us put together. So you can see that the number of assessment reviews is increasing. And you can see that currently the gen ed committee is essentially doing the work of both the gen ed committee and the university assessment committee. We are doing the work of two very busy committees. So I'm using numbers here, and I'm a word person, I'm a writing person. I also attempted to make art, which you got a preview of. I shouldn't call it art. I made a visual. So next slide. So this is a ticking time bomb of assessment and evidence that I have too much time on my hands right now. So it's been moving pretty slowly in terms of the increase in our assessment reviews, but this bomb's about to go off, as I'll show you. And the reason for that is, over the last 10 years, we have more students, obviously. We have more new programs, and we have a lot more new gen ed courses that require our oversight. So next slide. These are the number of courses. This is from the explorations area. I didn't include the courses from the foundation area, the writing foundations and formal reasoning. And I didn't include global perspective and literature because I haven't changed much and I needed room on the slide. But as you can see, the number of courses that we have that require assessment has been increasing every year. The numbers in parentheses are the ones we approved this year. By my estimation, we've got about 274 courses in the exploration area alone. I guess capstones in there as well, that will require assessment, and those happen on a 3-year cycle. So we can move on to the next slide. I'm going to back up, actually. The reason for assessment is not to write an assessment report. If it was, then we would tell you don't write any assessment reports and we wouldn't review any. The goal of assessment is to figure out what's working in your course and what isn't and make improvements based on what you find out. And it's also to ensure some consistency among courses, which is really important with a program of this size and diversity. So we want to make sure that students who are taking a global perspectives course in your department are getting the same, achieving the same outcomes as students who are taking a global perspectives course in another department. We've all agreed that these outcomes are important. So it's my committee's job to figure out if it's working and if we've got some consistency in how these outcomes are being delivered. So yeah, we can move on to the next one. We also have a requirement to oversight. So, and in this case, these are courses that don't require assessment, but do require us to think about whether or not the, for example, the requirements for writing intensive courses that the faculty at this university decided were important, are they being met in all courses that are writing intensive? U.S. diversity courses are supposed to be 50% of their content is supposed to be focused on diversity. Is that happening? We don't know, and we don't have the time to find out. following our program assessment 3 years ago, we decided that U.S. diversity courses and knowledge app courses, which were being assessed, didn't need to be assessed because we can use indirect measures for that. And again, if the goal of assessment is not to write an assessment report, but to figure out how to make courses better, and we can do that without making you write a report, then we're happy with that. And we can move on to the next slide. So I asked Susan Condren and Oira to give me an idea of how many assessment reports we should be receiving in 2021. And it's 44, but this number is actually not quite accurate because we actually have 31 capstone courses that are being assessed, but five of those are being assessed with a pilot program with the University Assessment Committee. So they're handling those assessments. And then 2 years ago, I came to you and asked for an ad hoc Gen Ed Assessment Committee to pilot new assessment. That committee, we're going to ask for an extension of their charge. That committee is handling 22 additional. So we're actually looking at a jump from 26 assessment reports to potentially 66 this year. One of the ways that a new assessment committee can help us is by doing these assessment reviews, but also by taking charge of the assessment plans that are submitted with new course proposals. And I think the changes that will come about as a result of this new committee are going to be very positive for programs that are looking to propose new courses. So we can move on to the next slide. So the current process, you submit your new course proposal, the syllabus, an assessment plan, and then we review those three documents and we kick them back to you if we feel that you need to do some more work on them or we approve them. The new process, you would submit only the syllabus and the proposal to us. We would approve those or deny them and ask you to revise. And then you would have 6 months following the approval of that course to work with the Gen Ed Assessment Committee to put together a new course assessment plan. So our workload, I'm going to give you an example of the workload for the committee. When I joined the committee 4 years ago, we did the vast majority of our reviews online. And then we would meet once a month for 10 to 20 minutes just to approve the decisions that we had made online. Last year or this year, we had 12 meetings of the committee in addition to doing all of our review work online. And those 12 meetings, I would say about half of them were 2 hours long. And that's because we're fielding a lot of proposals from advisors, from the transfer office, from the registrar to try to fix problems with the courses, to try to make us more transfer friendly, to try to make us more friendly for students who are coming back to the university after, 15, 20 years absence. We can move on to the next slide. So our committee meetings are also spent sort of enacting some changes that we recognize needed to be done as a result of the assessment. There's a list here of the problems that we had with people didn't understand what cross-cutting capacities were, and we weren't really valuing them. We should. We've offered some workshops through Settle, and we've updated a lot of the materials related to Gen Ed that are explaining the program a little bit better. Sitting on our hands here. We can move on to the next one. In terms of assessment, we've also made a number of program of changes to assessment processes, and that's on the next slide. I'm going to talk about one in particular. Sorry, last slide.
One slide. Hey, Doug, can you mute your microphone, buddy?
So one of the changes we made was this year we approved a new policy which will allow departments that do assessment for accreditation to apply that assessment to count as their Gen Ed assessment. This is a one-page document where you can show us the ways in which the Gen Ed outcomes for your courses align with the outcomes that you're assessing for accreditation. I'll be sending out another reminder about that because we don't feel like you need to do multiple assessments of the same outcomes. We are trying to streamline processes. We're trying to make the program a lot better. We're attending HLC's Gen Ed Assessment Institute. We are propose to send a six-person team to the AAC and use Summer Institute on Gen Ed. And we have some plans. And that's the next slide. We want to start leading some campus-wide discussions about Gen Ed. We want to explain and promote the program, and we also want to solicit feedback so that we can set up a process and a timeline to begin to make some improvements to this program. And then we have some aspirational plans. I'm threw these out there. I haven't brought these to the committee because I'm too embarrassed to. We are drowning in work right now, and so it didn't seem fair to put additional work onto the committee. But in addition to maintaining consistency across programs, we also need to assure some program cohesion. And right now, cohesion happens in two places. First would be in those capstone courses that students take, where they have to reflect on how the Gen Ed program has contributed to their understanding of their major and their educational experience. And then the second location for cohesion is happening just in those students as they graduate. So there are some things that we could do to demonstrate the program's value and to assure some program cohesion by making Gen Ed more public, I guess, right? By planning a conference or having a single problem for Gen Ed courses to address every year, however they want to and however long they want to show how their disciplinary knowledge helps us to understand a particular problem and maybe even to work to solve it. So we have plans. We also have an enormous amount of work. I looked back at some of the numbers from 2010, 2011, and the committee reviewed over the course of a year 33 petitions of exception and 14 transfer course reviews. I sent out the first round of summer assignments to my committee last week. This is 2 months worth of work, and we have 20 POEs and 12 TCRs. So we are essentially doing in 2 months what a committee 10 years ago did in an entire year, just in terms of POEs and TCRs. So we really think this is an important proposal. We really feel like a Gen Ed assessment committee is essential at this stage, and certainly with a program of this size, for us to divide up some of the work of program assessment from the work of program and curriculum oversight. And I can take questions, and I think if you're tired of my voice, and I am, I think there's a few members of the Gen Ed committee here who can also answer some questions.
Lori, thanks to you and the committee for the enormous work you've undertaken so far. Are there any questions for Lori?
I'd like to ask a sort of general question. So many years ago, when assessment was a much newer activity at Oakland University, I wrote an essay for the Oakland Journal in which I pointed out that, you know, as an increasing and new activity, it could crowd out some of our existing activities, including scholarship. And this past year on the college cap, I noticed a bunch of candidates who just barely satisfied their department's criteria for scholarship, but were, you know, enthusiastically participating in a lot of assessment. So now I'm even more worried that assessment is crowding out scholarship. Already, you know, Oakland University does not have much of a reputation as an academic powerhouse. And the way you get such a reputation is by doing more scholarship. So what I want to know is there any way that we can get people to do a lot less assessment so that they'll have more time for scholarship?
I think that would be wonderful. You know, and I didn't really go through all of the sort of things, changes that we've made to assessment as a result of our program assessment, but simplifying assessment, but still making sure that it's productive for departments, that it's not busy work. is definitely a focus of my committee, and I would assume that a separate committee focused on gen ed assessment would really work on that. In my discipline, we do assessment to improve programs, to, you know, all of that, but we also occasionally publish on assessment as well, and it might be that a separate committee could help departments figure out how to take the research that they've done for assessment and turn that into some type of scholarship as well, program scholarship. I don't know. Other people would probably sound in here.
Other questions, comments? Mary Craig, I think I see a hand up.
What I would like to say is, to address David's position, is I work on the General Education Committee currently, and it is a boatload of work. And I will say that as a special instructor, I'm not bound to do the scholarship. But I can see that we do need assistance, and that it would be a good idea for more people to come forward. But we could always mitigate what David's talking about, allowing our junior faculty to do scholarship by having it be who are already tenured, people who've achieved it. And in a way, I feel that that's a bad thing, because I think we need to bring in junior faculty and train people to do this. But it would help so that they're not burdened with these heavy types of committees, so that they can focus on doing their scholarship and build their programs before they start participating. It's just one example of how we move forward.
We've had conversations. I know we have some deans on the, I think, on the call here too. And I don't know about for today, but I take the comment in general that we do want to have enough time and the right balance of work, so that scholarship is important, and we think it is. So I, you know, maybe there's not a simple solution to it, but there are ways to address this and making sure we can distribute these kinds of activities. If we can make the activities simpler, as Lori, I think, is talking about, and I know Ruben with the kind of assessment work they've done, we've talked a lot of simplifying procedures. So I take the point. Any further comments?
Yes, hi, I'm Emily, and I am currently a member of the General Education Committee, and I too would like to address David's concerns. I think that if you look at the proposed course proposal process that Lori had on one of the slides, that it's also significant that this kind of bifurcation of committees would allow the General Education Assessment Committee to work alongside departments in creating the assessment process. Rather than being the quote unquote bad guy who has to check up on departments to make sure that they're meeting their JESLOs, this would instead be a collaborative process that that would help them make the best of their assessment time, because assessment, whether we like it or not, is an important thing that the university has to keep an eye to. There are also other initiatives that this committee under the wonderful leadership of Lori has had to look into, such as the Golden Grizzlies graduate program, which is looking at readmitting students who have been away from the university for more than 6 years. And the increased push of the university to help our former students to finish requires a lot of petitions of exception and review through this committee. So our coursework, or our committee work, has been substantially growing over time, perhaps from what it would have 10 years ago. And I wanted to alert those assembled here to say that those are two aspects that, from a member's point of view, would also make these proposed changes worthwhile.
Very much. I saw Louis Shamra's hand up, and I see a couple others too.
So this is Louis Shamra, Dean School of Engineering and Computer Science, and I completely agree with David's comment. And I really think what we need to do is a conscious effort by the chairs and the deans that when we have a junior faculty and give them less service, especially with assessment. Assessment is extremely important for engineering because of ABET accreditation. However, assistant professors should not be, I understand the training, I understand that they may serve as non-voting member or to learn what's going on, but at the same time, junior faculty should not be burdened with assessment, especially when they're worried about research, scholarly activity, publishing, and getting to tenure and promotion. So if we do burden them with service, I really think we're hurting Oakland, we're hurting the faculty, and we're not doing our job. Thank you.
Hey, thanks, Louis. Mary, I think your hand is up. I don't know if you had another comment, or Mary Craig?
Up. I'll turn it off. Maybe it didn't click it off.
All right, any other comments? Good discussion.
You see me?
Ron, I see you now. Yep, go ahead.
I would say within the School of Business, we have been trying hard to not put especially people who are before C2 on major Senate committees. That means UKUI, Gen Ed, budget, research, and planning. They are just often too much time. They can be on lesser ones. Now, when they're getting ready to go up for tenure, that may be a little different because it's also important to have a perspective of the university. And as a first year person or a second or third year, you don't really have much. So I would really encourage other department chairs and deans to really try to discourage faculty who have not at least passed the C2 from getting on major Senate committees. I don't know if I included Gen Ed. I should have. Thank you.
All right. I think this is a conversation that should continue, but the motion itself is for the committee structure. So let's, I'm going to try to refocus it there. And this has been a good discussion. I think that that it should continue, and deans and chairs and others should weigh in as those decisions about who's doing the work continue. All right, thanks for all the comments. Anything further? The second reading, so we're gonna take a vote, unless I see anything else. I don't see anyone else, so we're gonna use the green check mark for a yes, the red X for a no, and I'm ready to call the question here. All in favor of the motion, please green check. And I ask the crack team, Kate and others, to count for me. Opposed? We don't have an abstain button, do we?
Smiley face.
Smiley face, okay. All right, I'll let Kate count them up. I don't see any no's, so I'm assuming motion carries, but.
It's 40 yes, 0 no.
Motion carries, thank you very much. We'll go on to motion the second item, motion from Gen Ed Committee again. And this one is for the committee charge. Lori, is there anything else you wanna add on this one? I know you explained a lot about what's going on with your work, but if you want to say anything else, you're welcome.
This is just a motion
to. I can't tell if I'm on mute or not, but
you're not mute.
Oh, thanks.
This is just a motion to update the Gen Ed Committee charge to reflect the fact that we won't be doing assessment, and to show the ways in which the two committees will work together.
All right, those who've already voted, if you would uncheck your green checks, that would be good. And I'll ask for any questions on this motion, their second reading, or any comments. I don't see anyone jumping in. Wait, I see one, sorry. Okay, Judy Didion.
No, I think I pushed the wrong button.
All right. Dicka, is that a hand up?
Yeah, there are a few people that haven't unchecked their green checks.
Oh, okay. All right. We'll uncheck the green before we call for a vote. So I am going to call the question on this one. All in favor of the motion, green check. All opposed. Bless you. I heard a sneeze.
41 yes, 0 no.
Motion carries. Thank you very much. Motion 3. Lori, we can't get away from you on this. The Gen Ed Committee to extend pilot assessment program. Anything you want to add on this one?
Extending the pilot, Beth Black and I are chairing this committee, and we just need another year because folks were collecting data during the pandemic.
Okay. And this is second reading again. Any comments, questions? Thank you. I don't see any. I'm going to call the question. All in favor say aye with the green check. Any opposed, red X.
41 yes, 0 no.
Grace, thank you very much. We're on to item 4. Student Academic Success Committee today, syllabus language on mental health resources. Don't believe we have any new information. Is there any additional comment or question about this motion? Don't see any. I'm going to call the question. All in favor, please hit the green check. Any opposed, the red X.
41 yes, 0 no.
Motion carries. Thank you very much. We have no new business, so we're on to good and welfare. I'm just going to say a few things and then open it for any other comments. But my last time doing this, so a weird way to end. But here we are virtually doing this. But thanks to Xander and Steve and everyone for all the support in making these meetings work, and especially under these new circumstances of virtual work. And Xander Buckingham, by the way, has a new baby. So virtual cheers to you. Congratulations on that. What's the baby's name? Boaz. All right. Well, welcome to Boaz. All right. Well, I hope you're getting some sleep. I know I remember those days. To Evan Sickler, Dave Lumen, Kate Genord, Stephanie Lee for helping always and for helping with this meeting. I want to thank senators for all you've done this year, and some folks for multiple years. The steering committee, actually, since I've been here for 7 years, I think the steering committee has really been terrific and very thoughtful and very collegial. And I very much appreciate the council and the good thinking. I don't know what else to say other than I only wish OU the best. I think it's a great institution, and though we're in a crisis, everyone is. And I think OU will weather it better than others. So thanks for all you've done and for all of your support, everyone. And I'll open it for any other good welfare comments or anything else. Dicka, again, I don't know if you got a hand up or if.
I do, I have a hand up.
Okay.
I was thinking, since it's so hard for us to shake your hand today or to wish you a adieu, farewell, auf Wiedersehen, goodbye, that we could give you a WebEx Senate salute by everybody waving their little hands. And so if we all clicked our little hands, you would be getting everybody on the Senate waving you off, which, you know, it's the best we can do. We can't have cookies. We can't have coffee. Well, so my little hand is up to say,
thanks. I'm humbled by it, and it's been a privilege to lead these discussions. So thank you for all the great work. And thanks for the hands. I appreciate it. Well, if that's it, unless I see you on a virtual happy hour somewhere down the line here, and I wish everyone as good a summer as we can have, given the stay-at-home order, and make the best of it. Thanks for all of your work, and I think we're done. So thanks, everyone.